Hello, and welcome to episode 525 of Contending at the Water Cooler. I'm your surprise host, Joey Moser, and tonight we are joined by one of the two M's. Let's go around or across the water cooler and tell the listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. I guess, Megan, I guess we'll start with you.
Hello, I am Megan McLaughlin. You can find me on the internet at Hey Dude Meg, pretty much everywhere.
And I'm Joey Moser. like I said, you can find me on the internet at Joey Moser 83. How are you, Megan?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. Megan was serenading me with
Well,
Grease Lightning.
No, it was not Grease Lightning. I said I wanted to look cool, so I put my jean jacket on, and I said, and he goes, "Oh wow, you look really cool now." And I go, "I got chills. They're multiplying." I don't know why I went into like John Travolta, and that was "You're the One That I Want." That was not
Oh,
Grease
I'm
Lightning.
so sorry. As someone who has done the musical twice, I should know that. I
Wait,
was always just
were you always the angel, or have you
no.
ever played
I was Duty the second time. Yep.
Oh, that's perfect.
I
How
guess
do I
that's where
not
we're.
know that?
Because I tried to make everyone forget.
Fun fact, our physics teacher, Mr. Norman, said that Joey was the best angel, or what is it, like teen angel that
The
he'd ever
teen
seen.
angel.
And he was like an expert in Grease movies
Yeah,
or
because he was a
plays, I mean, not Grease
dinosaur.
movies.
He was a dinosaur when we were in high school.
He was obsessed with that play, and
Was
but he
he?
said you were the best one
Yeah,
he'd ever seen.
because he was there when it was written. And he was there when the source material was mined for the musical.
He was Danny Zuko.
He was. Got the wig for it. That's all I'm going to say. So, Clarence is stuck in Jennifer Lopez's web as he anticipates the release of Bill Condon's Kiss of the Spider Woman out
And
this Friday.
time out. Did you see that on the red carpet that fucking Ben Affleck was with her?
Well, he's a producer.
I know, but still, that's insane. That's
They
insane.
still, I bet they be fucking. I bet they're fucking.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I just really didn't think that.
Really?
I think she would have more integrity than that. She wouldn't deal with that shit.
Like, I will
Like,
not go into a Dunkin' Donuts with you. Stop it.
Yeah, I think
Stop
she's
it.
probably, I don't know, but I just thought that was interesting that they posed for a photo. So
Maybe
crazy.
they're like, oh, we're professional. Oh.
Yeah. And then she's like, I fucking hate you.
So today, Megan and I will talk about Ben Lienberg's Good Boy, the puppy paranormal horror flick that debuted over this weekend. Is he a good boy, really? Is he a big old dog? Well, don't worry. We got two bitches here to really... two bitches lapping at the water cooler to really break it down.
Oh,
And
I love that.
we will close, as always, to flash forward to the media as we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. Before we give our dog a treat, Megan, you wrote a piece for the site that I assume Clarence will have either a written or verbal rebuttal to, because Clarence is not, I would never designate Clarence as a Swiftie. I'm using air quotes for the people that
I
are.
think he is a Swiftie. I think he is
No,
a
he's not a
self-proclaimed.
Swiftie. There's a difference. There's a difference between.
He said to all the Swifties last week, he made a message to them, like a dog whistle, as they would say.
Oh my God, Megan. On brand for this week's podcast. No, there's a. Swifties, I think Swiftie has now gone into like a real, like, kind of crazy, not to offend the 11-year-old girl audience that we have, but they're like the super crazy ones. You were
go
like,
to
it's
bed.
me. Yeah, go to bed. I think Clarence is just a gigantic, gigantic fan of Taylor Swift, but I would never denigrate our co-founder's name and legacy with the word Swiftie, unless he wants to correct me. But You read a piece about you saw the number one film of the weekend. What is it technically called? Just Taylor Swift, The Life of a Showgirl?
Taylor Swift, The Life of a Showgirl. Yes, my friend really wanted to see it, so he dragged me to it. And I what like I'm not a Taylor Swift fan, but as I said in the piece, but I went into it with an open mind, and the music video that she does is really good.
Is there
And
just
like
one
basically
video and the rest are
it's just
lyric
one
videos?
video and the rest of it is just kind of like, do you remember like as kids when they had like Disney sing-alongs like videos where they had, that's kind of what it was like. Only you didn't know the lyrics yet because the album just came out. Although Phil, who I went with, did know the lyrics because he studied up ahead of time, which I thought was like very impressive. But so they had the one music video, which was really cool. It had like all these different eras of Showgirl and stuff, and you could tell there's a lot of care in it. And basically, I just wrote about how, this was the number one movie at the box office, and people were kind of talking about her move towards more filmmaking and stuff. She has this deal with AMC, but like basically, not to tie it back to Jennifer Lopez, but a year ago she did a similar film about, I guess over a year ago, she did it like a film, a very personal film, and had a documentary to go with it, and had a visual album to go with it, and it got completely panned, and people were like, this is disastrous. And so basically, I just wrote about how, it was interesting juxtaposing these two things. So it wasn't necessarily a criticism of Taylor Swift, although I do think J-Lo's was more interesting. But I think that it was just it's to me, I found it captivating that, she Taylor Swift doesn't give a lot of herself in the, like, she doesn't really talk about anything in the about herself. But everybody kind of has these interpretations of her, and it made me think, wow, how much is she actually revealing, and how much is it just the her fans taking in this and interpreting it the way they want to, kind of like what
Sure.
Britney's fans have done. Like,
Wow.
everybody thought Britney was needed to be free, and now there's some speculation that maybe she didn't, we didn't need to free Britney, and it was kind of people's interpretation of their fandom. And I just thought that was
Right.
interesting that she really doesn't say a lot of personal things in the film at all. Doesn't reveal a lot. And yeah, and but I thought that was interesting. And I wrote about it for the site. So I encourage people to read it, yell at me, whatever you want to do. I don't care.
What if it's just Clarence yelling from fake accounts? Clarence, wink, wink if that's what you're doing. Not that we can
I'll
see
figure
you.
it out.
I have
I'll
no
figure it out.
product in my hair, and usually when I don't have product in my hair, I play with it, and it's I feel like my hair is more like not wispy, but like it's weird.
You look very boyish.
Very what?
Boyish.
Hi guys.
Hi.
This is my dad's water cooler. He said I could stand here. We're hemorrhaging subscribers. Clarence is never gonna let us do this again.
Numbers game and just be like,
He's
taking right now.
gonna like Clarence is gonna get on the next meeting with like a graph and be like, this is
Yeah.
where we were before you started recording, and this is where we are now. So sorry, Clarence. So Megan and I both have dogs. Megan has two dogs, actually.
Yes.
And I have one. Excuse me, I'm yawning. So we were both really anticipating this new movie, Ben Lienberg's Good Boy. Now, I may have mentioned this before, but I think it was reported that it's a Shudder release that had like a limited theatrical window, and then the response from the trailer when the trailer dropped was so big that I think they decided to open the film in more screens, and I think it landed
Maybe
at
it like eight.
like eight. Okay, I was gonna say
Yeah.
seven, so you're right. Round number eight at the box office this week. It's a short movie. I think I mentioned that last weekend. It's only 73 minutes long. And it is basically the story of a, I don't want to say supernatural encounter, but it's basically a haunted house story, but from the perspective of a dog, a really gorgeous dog that I've never heard of this breed before. It's a Nova Scotia duck tolling retriever named Indy. And Indy is actually the director, Ben Leonberg, is Indy's owner. And I remember seeing some reviews. I think it played at the film played at South by Southwest, and it played at in Melbourne, and then it was acquired in May. There's another film festival. Oh, the Overlook Film Festival. It was getting like a good amount of buzz, and all the reviews that I saw were really good. And I remember when I saw the trailer, I got like a we get these blasts sometimes about like this movie's coming out. Reach out for press materials. And so I immediately was just like, I would like a screener to review the movie. And I completely forgot all about it. And then randomly the screener link popped up in my email. And I thought it was just gonna be like a fun time. And I think it is a fun time. But I was mostly I guess spoiler territory. I think that I was really surprised by the emotional ending of the film. So I wrote a review of it last week, and I gave it a pretty positive review. I was very sort of surprised by how emotional the story is, and it's sort of like as a dog owner, I was really sort of surprisingly emotionally affected. And I know Megan went in with tissues, and I think she said you do not need the tissues.
I did not need the tissues, and I think it was because I did talk to you ahead of time, so you prepped me for this, and
Okay.
I actually am thankful for that. I don't know what I would have done had I not known what was going to happen, because I mean, as soon as that dog appeared on screen, I went like, oh, I'm like, oh, is this like an all friendly crowd? And it was, and I was like, okay, thank God, because people were like, oh, you know.
That's a gorgeous dog. He's a
Oh
gorgeous
God,
dog.
that dog is so cute, so pretty. I wasn't particularly okay. I expected me to be. I think the scariest thing about this film is actually the poster. I think the poster is really terrifying.
Give me the one with
I
the
just,
hand.
yes, I think this film is a little haunted, like a haunted house story. It's very deep. It's got a lot of emotional heft to it, but I wasn't like ever, there were only a few jump scares.
I wasn't scared by the movie, to be honest. I was
Yeah, I
not,
was,
I
yeah.
don't, I think it works better as an emotional tale than it does a horror film.
I would agree with
Sorry, go
that
on.
because I think I was expecting more of like dogs in peril, like a dog
Yeah.
in peril. And it really isn't that. It's just, you know, a dog being like, what's that? You know, and I was thinking about that now. I don't know if your screener had at the end like the making of the film at all. Did it have that?
No, but I heard that I saw people kind of mad online that that was in there.
Oh, I liked it because, well, it made me think of, I feel like they probably had to do it as some sort of insurance type of thing because you know, you're putting this dog in a situation where you're scary. Are you scaring the dog? You know, I think I talked right before I went to see it. I was like, is PETA gonna be okay with this? Like scaring this dog? But it made me think of one of my favorite movies, The Bad Seed, and how, you know, they show that little girl, like, you know, she's terrorizing everybody throughout the film, and then at the end, lightning zaps her and kills her. And it's like, you know, it's kind of like God's hand saying, no more, bitch, stop. And after the credits roll, and they show little, I think her name's like Patty McCormick or something, she comes out and she's like, I'm fine, guys, everything's great.
Oh,
And
wow.
that's what I felt about this. It's like, hey guys, don't worry. This dog, like, we were filming around this dog, but this dog was never actually scared. And I like that they showed filming techniques of like, here, we put this little object in front of Indy. So it looked like Indy was looking at that and being haunted by it, you know, but really Indy's just looking out the window, just like, huh? Like, and it was just really funny that they showed the tricks. It's very much a very good filmmaking lesson. Like, I'm sure that this film will be shown in film schools for how they,
How to treat
like
animals.
how they created mood and how you can manipulate the camera to and manipulate audiences without actually doing anything to the, like, the dog didn't do any, like, the dog's just stay, like, they showed it, the dog's just sitting there. So I really appreciated that, but
Yeah, I actually like, I know this is gonna sound quite stupid. I was like, technically, Indy, who, according to the Wikipedia page, says cast Indy as himself. I want to know, and this is gonna sound so stupid, and it is kind of stupid, but I sort of seriously want to know, is like, is this technically, can this be nominated for casting?
Interesting. And I also, that's very interesting. But I also was wondering about screenplay.
Well, so for the people that aren't aware of the movie, I'm not going to talk about the ending, but it's basically like this dog, this gorgeous dog, this gorgeous, beautiful, wonderful. I'm sorry, Jamie Lee Curtis, get out of the way. If
You've got a new scream queen.
I know, she's like,
A
oh, finally, I can stop doing this
bark
movie.
lark. I
Oh, God. Well, so like his owner Todd, I think they move into like a new house in the country. I'm so sorry. Oh God.
it's his like old family house that's
Yeah.
cursed, basically. Which I'm like, bitch, why are you going there?
I don't know if it's
Jeez.
just like I want to. Todd is also like suffering from something. He's
Yes,
coughing
that
a lot.
also his other relatives had too.
Yeah, but
Yeah.
then there's like. It's like, oh, I don't know. There's like the dog. I think the main hook for this movie is, and I'm surprised the trailer doesn't say it. I guess it doesn't have to say it, but it's sort of like, what, you know, like when your dog just barks at nothing, what if it actually knows that there's something there? That's like the main,
Yeah.
the sort of like crux and hook for the story. And I feel like I saw some people like on Letterboxd being like, it's really just like a gimmick and there's really nothing else to the story other than that, and once you get through that, it's not that impressive, and I disagree. I don't know where I was going with this, but
No, I disagree too, because I could see their opinion about that. Because
me too.
I did wonder at points. I'm like, okay, where is this headed? And there's a section that I was very confused about where Indy gets out and he's running to the neighbor, and he gets caught in a trap. We're caught in a trap. He gets caught in a trap, and then he just, I don't know. The editing there, I'm like, okay, what happened? Like, who found him?
Yeah.
Is that a dream? I guess I was very a little confused by some of
Is
that.
that when he like he's like in the like doghouse and he manages to break free and then he like goes downstairs and he finds something.
It's like right before that, yeah.
Okay. I just sort of like I don't know if I chalk that up to it just sort of being like it's in the dog's brain. That's what I
So
assumed.
do you think he didn't actually get out? But how would he imagine himself getting caught in a fox trap? How would
I have
he
no
know what
idea.
that is?
I don't know.
Because I'm like, see, that's smart. Because I did like going into his mind, and like I thought that was so interesting, him seeing like the former owner's dog and stuff, and they always say the dogs dream of their owners, and he does dream of his owner, and I thought that was really interesting too. And it never feels like dumb or laughable, which I think this could easily do it. Like, if a lesser director could easily make this feel like you would giggle at things. And I never giggled. Like, I
Yeah.
was never like terrified, but I was never like, oh, this is silly. Like, this is a dog like being spooked by stuff. Like, it felt very serious, and he felt like a real character and like a real,
Oh, yeah.
you felt for him, and he's confused and he doesn't say a word.
Yeah.
He really is very like, he's a great actor. He's so good.
I mean, it's like I imagine that if they did this at a different time, like I don't know if they would make it like Homeward Bound style and the dog would be able to talk or Air Bud or I don't
They can
know
shoot baskets.
shoot. I mean he's like I could see like them making it really jokey and the phone rings and the dog picks up the phone. I don't know, something like America's Funniest Home Videos adjacent level crap.
Yeah.
But I never thought, I don't know how they kind of I mean, I watched it at home with like a couple of friends, and like they were really like really worried about the well-being of the dog. Maybe it's because he is such a good-looking dog and he's obviously very well behaved,
If it
and
was
you
an ugly
are.
dog, you wouldn't care, is what you're
No, if it's a
saying.
dumb ass, like I'm sorry, I'm gonna get canceled for this, but I think bulldogs are ugly.
You shouldn't be canceled. All dogs are
Fine.
adorable. All
Well,
dogs
sure.
are adorable.
I just don't think
What
I'd be able to.
bulldog wouldn't be able to move as fast? You had
I
to
know.
have this be like.
And hence it being that would be the funny version if it was a bulldog. But I don't know. I think maybe because the dog is on screen alone for the majority of the movie, like he, I don't know. I think I think that may help the story because it's sort of like, I don't know if it puts the audience in the perspective of was like, well, if I was alone in the house and I saw some strange stuff, but it's a dog and I care more about dogs than I do about people. Like,
I do too. And
if this was like, I think I said in my review if this was, you know, a buxom coat, just kill it. I don't care. But if you do something with the dog, how dare you?
when Indy gets so scared that he pees,
I
oh,
know.
I was like, oh, it's okay.
He's really like, oh God, that's not his voice. That's
I
he
know.
has a much more dignified voice.
He does. He would have a much more
He
dignified voice.
would.
I also love Indy has the Spielbergian stare down. You know what I mean? Like looking in the distance. Like he
Yes.
does it. He has that down. Like
I would
I
agree.
hope he does other films.
I don't know, if you go online and you just look at how the dog is being treated, like I wonder, I know this sounds stupid, but I feel like you would probably care about this. It was like, I wonder what it's actually like for a dog to be like taken to a premiere and you meet all these people. Like they did a press day for this, and I was like, so do we interview the dog?
I know, I tried to put in for that press day. They never called
Oh
me.
yeah. Like would they have would did you have to tell them like your dog would also be there? That'd be
No, I didn't do that. I just said, I would love that. Oh, I'm still hoping that I hear back, maybe
Oh
at
my
a
God.
later date.
Maybe after they listen to this podcast and they hear how much we love it, they'll give us.
Oh.
But then they're gonna be like, well, one of them doesn't like bulldogs, so fuck you. They're like,
And like I
fine.
have interviewed a dog with a French translator, so that's two different languages that I didn't know the dog's language or the French language. So we had two, like that was very complicated. That was my most complicated interview.
I'm glad you got through that. I'm glad. And I hope, keeping everything crossed, that you'll be able to interview Indy the dog. Any other thoughts on Good Boy?
I really liked it. I think it's a sweet little haunted house movie, but it's also dark though. Can we talk about a little bit about the ending?
Sure. I guess like super spoilers. If people don't want to listen, go ahead. Like, just listen to the last 5 minutes if you don't like
Yes.
spoilers.
So I didn't. Like I was heartbroken that that's how the last image of he sees of his owner is like covered in this like death, and it's like you're good. Like was it made me wonder like was Todd a really bad dude? What did he do that he's getting dragged into that hole? Like, or
Well,
is that all?
I thought I interpreted it as the dog just knows that something is wrong with the
Yeah.
owner. I'm not saying he's imagining it, but it's sort of like I thought it was sort of like almost symbolic of like how a dog probably always wants to save their person.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought. So maybe the situations don't really exist because I'm using air quotes here.
Okay.
So like, I don't know if it's just like that's it's the dog is so dedicated to saving Todd that maybe as it gets worse, the dog is almost imagining how it can like save him time and time and time again.
So like heightened, like a heightened situation, kind of the way dogs are like, if somebody comes to your door, they're immediately going to kill you.
Yeah.
Like, so he's thinking, like he's imagining something, the worst possible thing for
Yeah.
you.
Yeah, I mean that's what I kind of, and that's probably putting a lot more onto the concept of the movie because it's like horror is symbolic and horror is the most, what do they say? Like horror is the most, emotional and present genre we
Yeah.
have because it tackles blah 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 blah. This isn't like a social issue, but I think like they move to this house, I assume because Todd knows that like he doesn't have time left, and I
Right.
imagine the dog is probably very confused, and since the
Yeah.
dog is not familiar with that, he's probably much more on edge because he doesn't know. Like if, I assume that the like dog, I assume my dog knows random stuff around the house. Like he knows when, like if he's downstairs and he hears me coming downstairs, he doesn't like flip out because he knows that sound. So,
Yes.
I imagine it's also like they lean into the horror element because the dog is probably like, huh, what is that? What is that? What is
Yeah,
that?
you're absolutely right. Wow, you're a dog whisperer.
Never. My dog, Vinny, doesn't know. I'm sure they do. I think mainly my opinion of the movie was really colored by the ending
Yeah.
because I think for me personally, and I told you this after you saw it or before you saw it, that like I think I hear all these like stories about how when something happens to someone, like the dog doesn't understand. Like it
Yeah.
sort of knows, like when our cat had to be put to sleep, the dog probably was like, where did the cat go?
Yeah.
Because you would always see him like looking around to all the places where our cat used to like sit, and he would like lay in the places where he knows that she would like sit and stuff, as if he was like waiting for her to magically reappear. But like your dog, like dogs just love you so much. And the ending really like messed me up because it was sort of like, how is a dog gonna get through that? I
Yeah.
don't know. I mean, luckily, the person that we see at the end knows Indy,
Yeah.
because she calls for him at the end. But I don't know. I just thought it was, I think I think Good Boy has a more devastating ending than a lot of horror movies that deal with people.
I would agree with that. I also wanted to shout out the way it's filmed too. It's got like Muppet Babies style, you know what I'm talking about, where like you
Yeah.
don't really see the faces, you see like you're at his level. Like we really don't know what Todd looks like. I don't think
Yeah.
there are rarely any, like we don't know what anybody really looks like in this. And I like that. I thought, wow, that's so interesting that they did that because it really makes it like clearly makes it that it's the dog's point of view. Because I was thinking, oh, I wonder why they did that. But then I thought, like, are they saying that dogs don't pay attention to people's faces? Like, no, I'm like, because it's kind of making it like there's nobody else that you're attached to. Because it might be harder to think that you're looking at it through the dog's point of view if you have if you can see what Todd looks like. So
And also the way I'm sure as Todd is sicker and sicker, I bet that is, I mean, it's obviously not what Indy's used to seeing. So
yeah.
I wondered if in a way they were trying to show how not that he's scared of Todd, but it's just sort of like he's probably a lot more alarmed because he was like, what is going on with my person? Like he doesn't look like himself, and he's not.
Yeah.
Like there was that one, I can't even remember what happens in the moment, but like the dog wants to be in the bedroom with him and Todd doesn't want him in the room, or Todd is
Yes,
trying to
and you
get him out
push.
of the room. And
Yeah.
like I don't know, I feel bad anytime that I have to like kind of yell at my dog. I like 10
Yeah.
seconds later I'm like apologizing and
Yeah.
scooping him up and whatever. So I don't know, I just thought that you're right. I agree with like the way they have the camera. Muppet Babies, I never thought of that. I once had a really fucked up dream when I was younger that I saw Nana's face
Nanny.
and it, Nanny, and it was like Scooter's head on top of Rolf's head and on top. It was like really messed up. It's very that was like a dream that I had when I was like 11, and I still remember what it was.
I always pictured her looking like Annette Bening.
God, still not appreciated for that role. Still
That's gonna
not.
get her her Oscar,
Oh,
Nanny from the Muppet
God.
Babies.
No, the
Live
Hilary Swank has another movie.
action.
She's gonna be in, I don't know, today's special, the film. I don't know.
Oh, please don't tease me. I love that. Oh God, I love that show so
She's gonna be in a
much.
reboot of like Sharon, Lois, and Bram.
These
Ugh.
are all great ideas.
These are all
Greenlight
great ideas
them.
that no one under the age of 50 knows what we're talking about.
Knows what we're talking about either. So
No.
it's just this 20, it might just be our age group. It might just be people born between December 28th and December 29th in the 1980s.
No. Oh, God. Well, anything else on Good Boy?
No, I just think I hope people see it. And I also wanted to say that, like, I went to see the number one film of the week, and I justified that by thinking, okay, saying like, oh, I'm also going to support indie filmmaking, literally, and go to see Good Boy too. And I encourage others to do that too.
You think they're going to make a sequel to this?
No. Because you know
My.
how long it took? It took like 3 or 4 years to film it. They would film
Wow.
it in 1 or 3 hour increments every day, and they said it took forever.
Oh,
Yeah.
okay. Wow.
Yeah.
I saw something on someone on Reddit that said that they weren't interested in seeing Good Boy. They didn't say the reason why, but they said, I would see the cat version of this. And it's just a cat knowing something is happening, like looking. And then, like, looking away because it's not interested in what's going on. And it's just like, ghosts and people screaming in the background. It's just like taking a bath. I was like, I would watch that too.
Watch that.
Yeah.
Oh,
Knowing from my new indifferent cat, we just got him another cat perch to sit on that is in the shape of a martini glass.
that's so
And I'm
cute.
trying to find the right picture so I can caption it with, lyrics from The Ladies Who Lunch, because I am what? A faggot. Yeah. Okay. So let's move on to the flash forward to the media that we are most anticipating this week. And who should we pick? Megan.
I really want to see Roofman. Is it Roofman or Roofman?
Roofman?
Roofman? Like Mr.
Roofman.
Roofman? Roofman. Roofman. Is it spelled with one word though? Like
Yeah. It's
Carl
one word.
Roofman? Carl Roofman. Is that a stutter?
Oh my God. Now I'm not gonna be able to hear it any other way. Hello, one ticket to Roofman? Mr.
I really
Roofman.
want to see that though, because I think Channing Tatum is so funny and so charming, and Kirsten Dunst is in it too. I just think, like, I love story. I also think Derek Cianfrance is a great director, so I'm really excited to see what he does with this.
I'm excited to see him do something like a little lighter.
Yeah, because he's what? Because he did what? He did
Blue Valentine.
Blue Valentine, and then he did Place Beyond the Pines.
Yes.
And it's been a minute, I feel like, since he's done anything.
This is his apology for making Emery Cohen have that awful accent in
For
Place Beyond
making
the
who?
Pines. Emery Cohen, just look up Emery Cohen, Place Beyond the Pines accent. He's a good actor. I love him and everything else. He's the boyfriend in Brooklyn. He was the petulant little son of Deborah Messing and Brian D'Arcy James in Smash, NBC Smash. Yeah, he is. Yeah, no. So the, I'm hoping that Roofman does not end with screaming and emotional torture inside a waiting room of a doctor's office. Oh my God,
Oh,
that scene is insane.
oh God, that scene is insane.
Why was
It
that movie
probably is
rated
not going to end well.
NC-17?
Yeah, that wasn't in the
But like,
NC-17, yeah.
why? Those are the.
Because didn't he go down on her in the Poconos hotel room?
In the, I don't know why I
can't
see,
remember. Did he have a
why are you
boner
saying
or something?
the Poconos?
I don't know.
He's
I gotta
poking on
rewatch
those.
it.
Oh, I don't know if I could.
Oh, I've watched it
Imagine.
since. I do love that movie. It's
Mine
so
is
good.
Blue Valentine rated.
It was because of the where he went down on
Oh,
her
it
and she.
literally says this was due to a scene depicting cunnilingus.
Bingo.
One of my favorite things to do is if you go on to IMDb and if you go on to a particular movie's there's a parent's guide. And when you have you ever done this? Like you go in and you
No,
see, oh my
I'm
God,
really excited.
it's one of my favorite things. You go in and it's like it tells you why. It's like a content rating of like violence, drugs, smoking, drinking, profanity, sex and nudity. And I'm on the Blue Valentine one. And sometimes the descriptions of specific it goes through every instance of why something is rated like that. So it's like sex and nudity, severe. Drunken sex, not completed. We see breasts and pubic hair, comma, thrusting. Husband makes comments about not wanting you to be like that, just giving just your body to me. Next one, two characters shower. One performs oral on the other. We see breasts and butt. Two characters have sex. A butt is seen. It makes me laugh. Sometimes they're not funny, but sometimes when it's like clearly written by like a cantor at a church who's never seen a movie in his entire life and has no ex and just like has never seen sex or anything depicted in a movie, that's what it feels like. Sorry to cantors who
I
also
feel
write
like
anime.
you should start a TikTok where you just pick out a movie a day and you read those, because I would watch that. Like, I love
Like
this.
a number of re realist, I'm assuming that this to be realistic, a number of realist sex scenes, certainly not romanticized and hard hitting emotionally in the context of the film as a whole. Long scene in a bed where a man performs oral sex on a woman in the Poconos.
This makes me want to rewatch
What you should do is actually you should print it out and every time you see something like check,
it.
check.
You're like, bingo. Bingo.
So anyway, Roofman.
I was gonna say Roofman. And then I think I'm trying to think of anything else. I've got some stuff to watch, and I can't remember what it is right now. But just probably watching screeners. Yeah, and that's about it. But Roofman is the one I've been really
Roofman.
looking for. Roofman. Carl
Okay.
Roofman.
I love that.
Oh,
I might do a what I'm calling a suicide pact double feature where I'm gonna watch The Librarians
not
and
the Noah Wiley miniseries from the 90s. Okay.
no.
Or like early 2000s.
and I kinda wanna watch Orwell 2 + 2 = 5.
I still need to see that too, yeah.
It looks so like and then also there's a movie coming out called Fairyland about gays. It's based on a
Oh,
book.
I was gonna say, I thought that was your memoir title.
No, mine for anyone who wants to know, Megan said that my memoir name or my first memoir name should be called Notorious Faggot.
Notorious
Oh,
FAG. You gotta get that
FAG.
right.
There
Yes.
is an old picture of me after the one and only day that I worked at an AMC movie theater. And my friends and I went to, I think it was Rob, we went to Walmart and we were in like the craft section. And I happened to turn and there were like, wooden letters that you could like paint. And I picked up an FAG. And for some reason, I have a cowboy hat on. I think maybe someone put it on my
You
head.
please have this photo,
Oh,
please.
probably. Oh, yeah. I could
Like,
find it right now.
I need to see this
And
photo.
I'm making this face like, yep, I'm a faggot. Hold on, we're
When
gonna.
you call me, you're holding a sign that says chocolate and you're in a Barnes and Noble.
That's really? Oh God. Let me see
I'll
if
send that to you too. You
I'll
have
find
to
it.
call
Yeah,
me.
I'll find the notorious fag picture. I'm
Yeah.
scrolling through my Facebook as fast as I can, but since I'm one of the original members of Facebook.com, I feel like it's going to take me a while to get through it.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else? Any? Okay, great.
That's it.
So let's get the hell out of here. I'm so sorry, Clarence. You're going to be like these bitches. Please remember to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast app and to also subscribe to our YouTube channel. We are going to be updating our Oscar predictions. I don't think necessarily weekly, but semi-weekly as stuff comes out. Megan is going to be going to SCAD here in the next couple of weeks. I will be going to Middleburg. We have a lot of, exciting stuff. It's still only October. So we will see as the season progresses. So we'll see you next time at the water cooler.